Welcome to Torah Timecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. This is Hindi Mendelowitz. Today we continue through the Shir HaMa'alot of David with Perek Kuf Lamid Gimel in Sefer Tehillim, that's chapter 133. A short chapter and very, very, very sweet. David opens with Shir HaMa'alot le David. Hine ma tov u manaim, sheves achim gam yachad. How good and how pleasant is it when we have brothers who dwell together in peace. As many of us know, there can be that which is good for us. It's beneficial, it's healthy, but it tastes pretty bitter. We can have the things that are na'im, that are pleasant, tastes great, but it comes back to bite me a little later on, and all of us know where that is in the closet. Says David, peace, harmony, togetherness between brothers, that is tov, beneficial, and also na'im, it tastes good, it's pleasant. David brings here the quintessential example of a harmony, and it's unique that he chooses the example here in Pasuk Bet, verse 2, of Kashemen hatov al harosh, yored al hazakan, zakan aron, sheyored al pimidosav. David here highlights an event in the life of two remarkable brothers, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron. He compares the beauty of peace between brothers, like the precious Shemen HaMishcha, the anointing oil, which Moshe, the baby brother, poured upon Aaron, his older brother, when he was anointing him to become the Kohen Gadol of Klal Yisrael. And as that precious oil ran down from between his eyebrows, down through his beard and onto Midosav, Sheyored al pi Midosav, poured down onto the garments, the big day kuna, the special priestly garments of Aaron HaKohen. That was a beautiful moment. That was a beautiful sight. And it represents the beauty of the harmony between these two brothers, who, as we can imagine, had reason not to see eye to eye. Firstly, of course, there was room for jealousy between them. When Moshe the younger was chosen to lead all of Klal Yisrael, it was expected, or would be understood, that his older brother Aaron would have envy, would have bitterness over his younger brother's grandness. But as we all know, v'ra'acha v'samach bilibo, Aaron had only joy and pleasure at his younger brother's position of stature. Further, as we see throughout the parshiot in the Midbar in the desert, Moshe and Aaron had very different paths in terms of relating to the Jewish people and to God. Moshe was a man of Shamayim. He spent much time with the Malachim, with the angels. His power of speech was limited, as many Mefarshim explain, because he was more of a heavenly makeup, and his grasp in this world was tenuous. He was a man from above, from on high, who brought the Torah down to human beings. Aaron was a man of down here. He was a man of the people. He knew how to speak the language of the people. He knew how to relate to the people. He was tremendously, tremendously beloved to the nation of Klal Yisrael. So each had a very divergent path. Each had a different way, which again could have caused conflict, could have caused ill will, could have caused some bickering or kicking under the table, as we see sometimes between brothers. Yet how beautiful is the love between these two, where outside differences didn't matter because of the deep bond they had centered around their shared devotion to Ratzon Hashem and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's tremendously fitting that it's a David who could sing the song to this pair of brothers, because many of us are familiar with the very unlikely love and friendship that David enjoyed with Yehonatan, the son of Shaul. And again, remarkable, because really it would seem that David, so to speak, quote unquote, took the throne that should have belonged to Yehonatan. And where Yehonatan's father was out to kill David, enough reason for strife or tension between the two, outside circumstances didn't matter, because there was this inner bond on the neshama level between the two of them and their shared recognition of the other's pursuit of Ratzon Hashem. The formula here of love between brothers, love between Jews, of the outside circumstances or what I'm wearing or how I look or where I daven or don't. That's not what unites or defines or divides us. But of course, it's that inner core on the neshama level where when we search for the other's neshama, we find that there's much that unites us. David continues in discussing the beauty of this peace between brothers, between Jews. Ketal Hermon, Sheored al Hare Zion, like the dew of Har Hermon, Har Hermon, which was of the tallest mountains in Eretz Israel, from which dew would pour down on Hare Zion, the mountains of Zion. Kisham Tziva Hashem es Habracha Chaim ad Olam. From there, from the hills of Zion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded Bracha to flow forth on all of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. May there be life forever. The Radak extends this picture of brotherly love and the analogy here to Har Hermon to referring to another peer who enjoyed terrific harmony, to the future anointment of two separate figures who both also were anointed with the same Shemen HaMishcha, with the same oil, but fulfilled different roles in leading Klal Yisrael. And that was the interrelationship between the king, who was meant to lead Klal Yisrael politically and in the area of justice, and of course, the role of the Kohen Gadol, who was the spiritual leader of Klal Yisrael. Again, two men who had very different roles in very different capacities, but who could unite in their shared love of Klal Yisrael and of serving Hashem. Har Hermon would represent the king as the highest mountain, and also the idea that as the dew flowed down from Har Hermon, that represents the Shefa, the abundance, that would flow via the king, which would then be passed on to his subjects. But again, the reference to this Shemen HaMishcha, with which the Kohen Gadol was likewise anointed. And the ability of these two, in their very different capacities, to unite, to love, to be at peace with each other, as both of them pursued the very common goal of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and leading Klal Yisrael. Rashi, and then Rav Hirsch, lift this a little higher and point out that any Perek of Tehillim that's among the 15 Shir HaMaalot is never just for now and just for here. But it always, Be'ikar, would lift us above our present misery or above the darker days and lift us to the next stage. As Rashi identifies, as Rav Hirsch points out as well, this has to describe the days of Mashiach. And Rashi applies this idyllic scene of the peace between brothers to the time when Klal Yisrael will be at peace amongst themselves, within ourselves, as achim, as re'im, as brothers, as friends. And when all of us will be united surrounding the Beit HaBchira, surrounding the Beit HaMikdash, then, in the words of Rashi, kishiyeshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu beBeit HaBchira, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence will rest in the Beit HaMikdash, with Klal Yisrael, called achim v're'im, who will be united as brothers, ve'yeh gam hu yachad imahem. When we will be united, then we will find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will likewise be united with us. And Rav Hirsch extends this idea a bit further. He points out that in today's day and age, we as Jews are dispersed and spread out all over the world. I don't see the list or know the numbers, but I know that we women, all of us listening to this Perek Tehillim, learning it together today, we're on many different continents in many different countries, wearing many different outfits, doing many different things. How beautiful is it that here we are, thousands of us, studying the words of David HaMelech in this day and age. One day, we will not be a nation spread out, dispersed, united around the common goal of learning Dvar Hashem. But one day we will actually all dwell physically together in one place. And that will be, of course, in Eretz Yisrael. But such a reunion will only be tov, will only be good, if and when we enter as achim, as brothers, in our case we can extend as sisters, and rally around the Torah which will be central to all. Today we are achim and achayot, we're brothers and sisters all over the world, but united by a common goal. In the future, we will be further united by the common goal, but also physically, all of us together in Eretz Yisrael, surrounding the Beit HaMikdash, which will be our central common focus. And as he points out again in this perek, so short, so deep, so sweet, Eretz Yisrael here is paralleled to the Kohen Gadol. Just as Eretz Yisrael, there is Har Chermon, which is the highest mountain in one range that extends till the Har Zion, so too spiritually, there is Zion, which is the place which is the fountain or the source, the loftiest place, from which all bracha spreads to the rest. Just as the Shemin HaMishcha poured forth from the head of Aaron down till his priestly garments, at one point in time, Ki Sham Tziva Hashem es HaBracha Chayim Ad HaOlam. At one point, Tzion again will be that highest common ground, and all of Klal Yisrael, as brothers and as sisters, will unite around what Tzion represents. And from there, as the Shemin HaMishcha poured forth, bracha, blessing, will pour forth upon all of Klal Yisrael, where all of us will be again united around that common goal, united also physically in one place. And at that point, how beautifully, how poignantly Rashi says, V'ye gam hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, yachad imahem. God too will be at peace with them over there. Hoping to be there with all of you very, very, very soon. And on that note, thank you for studying Le'ilay Nishmot Helen Moskowitz and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Sheirat HaPleita. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day. Sponsored by their grandchildren, Yitzchak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.